Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, Co-Redemptrix, Saint Joseph, our patron saints and guardian angels, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We hear in the first reading the prophet telling us with what type of love does God the Father love his people of the Old Testament, and even more so in the New Testament. You know, that even if a mother should forget her child, the child of her womb, that God will not forget his people. A very maternal image showing how, you know, God really loves his people who he has created, and did not do it just because he could, but because he could do so out of love. It was the creation of the first Adam in the garden, and Eve, and all of us who have sprung from them, is because God's love for us. He wanted us, and he wanted us for himself. And so the prophet is trying to remind the people, maybe they were in a time when they were suffering some terrible injustice or persecution, to remind them, to give them hope, for their struggle was not going to be unseen or unheard by God. And even today, as we continue our spiritual battle, whether it be the battle against the culture of death that is permeating our society, or our individual struggle to be faithful to God in overcoming sin, that we should not lose hope, and that we should take comfort in knowing that God is there to help us. He does not forget us. He does not ignore us, or doesn't pay heed to our struggles and our trials and our difficulties, but truly he is there. So we should take comfort in that and strive even more so to be faithful to God. So he is so faithful and loving towards us. For the responsorial psalm even reminds us, the Lord is gracious and merciful. And he is, you know, it shows how much the work of the passion of our Lord was also his compassion, which it's important that we see Our Lady there at the foot of the cross, because it shows this maternal love of God for his people in the image of his mother. It's an appropriate way in which God worked out the redemption to show not only the passion, but the compassion, as exemplified in his sorrowful mother standing faithfully at the foot of the cross for her children, for their other children too, especially those who do not and did not love her and her son, but yet she loved them even to the point of enduring great suffering, and it was victorious, her suffering. For we hear our Lord in the Gospel talk about that the work of redemption is the work of the whole Trinity, that the work of redemption was not only Jesus' will, but his will was to do the Father's will, and that everything he did and does is nothing but a reflection of his Father. And so the love of God, this maternal love, that God says, I'm going to love you, even if a mother should forget her child of her womb, this great love of the Father is exemplified in Jesus' passion and his great love for us. And we say, does God the Father love me? Well, look at Jesus, his Son, for he is nothing but the spitting image of his Father. And the work that he does is the same as his Father. So if he shows this great love for us, and he even makes oaths here. He says, amen, amen. That's an oath. Our Lord is making a solemn oath to the crowd. You know, they're saying, well, we're out to kill him, because not only does he work on the Sabbath, but he also claims that God is his Father, making him his equal. So it's true that our Lord's enemies understood what our Lord was saying. They had no doubt in their mind. That's why when they finally questioned him on Holy Thursday night, do you claim to be the Son of God? They already knew that. They already knew that he was had made that connection. So it wasn't if they weren't sure. But that was also the motive and the main reason why they wanted to kill him, because he claimed to be God's son. Not an adopted son, but his natural son. This is what fueled our Lord's enemies to the most. And so he makes these different oaths here. Amen, amen, I say to you, the Son cannot do anything on his own. Jesus' will to go to Calvary was also his Father's will. And all that he did, our Lord being the second Adam, had to repair the disobedience of the first Adam. And so he shows his obedience to the Father even unto the death. And so everything that he goes on to say, amen, amen, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in the one who sent me has eternal life. Because he is only carrying out his Father's will and saying what his Father, he's the word of the Father. So therefore, when the Father wants to say something, his Son speaks it. And so to hear him, the Son, is to hear the Father. And all these things that our Lord prophesied, that the dead would hear his voice. Truly, they did hear his voice, and they did come out of the tombs on that Good Friday and walk about, scaring and startling the people when they did see them. Those to the resurrection of life, and others to the condemnation. So what our Lord is saying here today is just repeating and reminding his enemies, and to us too, that the Father and Son are one. Although the Father did not suffer on the cross, the Son only did, yet the Father willed it and accepted it, and you might say put his stamp of approval on everything that Jesus did. And Jesus was doing it all and only out of obedience to his Father. We should look at this and say, okay, then that means what great signs and meaning obedience must have to the Father in our own lives. Then our Lord says, not sacrifice does he desire, but obedience to his will. So whether we be religious or whether we be laity, whatever it is that God's will is for us and our obedience to that is where the power lies in our vocation. Where the power of the gospel is to the obedience that we give to our Heavenly Father as manifested in our state in life, the circumstances, the commandments of the church and of the teaching of the church. All this is where the true power of the redemption lies. And if we live that out, and even though sometimes we may not see it immediately, the results, we should take confidence in knowing that, like the prophet in the Old Testament, that God is faithful to his people and will never forget us. Even if a mother should forget her child, he will not forget us. And that our obedience in the long run will be rewarded with eternal life, just as the Son promised to us, that he who hears his words and believes in the one who sent him, meaning the Father, who is the Lord and Master of all, that we will have eternal life. So whatever we are called to do, let us do it with great love and with fidelity to that. And we will find at the end of Lent and at the end of our life, which is kind of like a Lent, we will find great reward awaiting us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.